Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of Mornings with the Montagues. We have steadily been recording, I think, for 1 week. 1 week recording. I think we missed one day only. Falta só um dia. And this is going to be good today. Today's episode is called Principles of a Good Match. And the verses today, Genesis 24, 34 through 67. So go ahead and read those verses. They're amazing verses. All right, Marcelli is going to read our verses today. Go ahead, Mar.
Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here's Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed."
All right. It's so hard reading the Bible in the Old Testament because the names, I never know what to say. I never know. I got to confess. I'm not a theologian. I did not study the Greek or the Hebrew.
I hear the Bible in English.
Yeah. So on the audio. So that helps a lot,
so,
right?
Yeah, to know the names.
You're amazing. Principles of a good match. The story of Abraham sending his servant to find a wife for his son, Isaac, illustrates several biblical principles for marriage. The first principle is that prayer is important in all stages and in all decisions regarding marriage. Abraham's servant prayed that he would find the right wife for his master's son. Instead of relying on his own judgment or opinion, the servant let God guide his actions. That's amazing. And the Lord gave him success, leading him to Rebekah. A second principle, one that Abraham insisted upon, is that we should marry a person who shares our beliefs. Abraham sent his servant hundreds of miles away to find a wife for his son Isaac among his family, knowing that would be the best place to find a woman who would share Isaac's faith. Today, we know that God wants Christians to marry those who also follow Christ. So important to be equally yoked. We must be equally yoked, because when we have a complication in our marriage or a difficulty in our marriage, what do? We turn to God. We turn to the Bible. We turn to Christian principles. We pray, you know, and if you don't share those beliefs with somebody else, it's not impossible, but my goodness, would it be tough.
When you're having these thoughts that does not come from the Lord, and are some bad teaching, theology or something, it's so interesting that we pray together, and it's like right after God starts bringing up the truth, either with the Bible or Dallas directs me as a husband, right? And I don't know, God bring this clarity so we understand like what was truth or something also that I believe in, and Dallas didn't see that way yet also happens, you know. God bring this clarity to know what is his will.
Absolutely. We need to both follow the will of God, something that we preach often. Whenever we're talking about Luke chapter 15 and following God, I always ask this question. If you're following God, if you're following Jesus, you need to know where Jesus is going, right? And Jesus, of course, we know through that message that Jesus is going to the lost people. But in the same way of following Christ, I need to know where he's going to follow him, because I'm going to the same destination as him. And so I made that decision also when we were talking toward marriage. We also mentioned that on the other episode. It's so important to date toward marriage. We were discussing and praying together toward marriage. And we decided, wow, we have the same destination. We're going to the same places. Let's do this together, right? You want to be a missionary. I'm a missionary. You love the Lord. I love the Lord. You know, we had so many shared, even though being so different, we shared so many same values through Christ and through kingdom mindset, right?
One thing that is very important since the beginning of marriage that I noticed, Dallas always like to bring up the truth, you know, the truth of God about a person or about a situation. And he just says like, this is not coming from God. And this is what the Bible says. This is what God says about you. This is what, you know, it's just like when you are in a situation and you're thinking wrong and you're it's like the enemy is destroying you with these words that comes from, you know, the pit.
He's,
you know,
feeding you with these things, these lies,
and
right?
You can't keep. You can't think straight. You can't think like godly things, and only these evil thoughts. And it's so interesting that Dallas recognizes it, and he says like, no, this is not true. This is a lie from the enemy. Let's pray. Let's understand what is the truth of God, and this is extremely important then to bring into life the words of God, the words that are truth, instead of thinking and the lies and keep believing in the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
Even about ourselves or about another person, like this person did that to me. They hate me or blah, blah, blah. Or my mom hates me, my dad hates me. That's not true, mm-hmm. you know. For so many things that we might think, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm a bad person, I'm ugly. No, you're not, you know. God created you with a purpose, you know. Bring all that truth that God yeah. says about you.
Yeah.
So that makes all the difference when you're immersed in this truth of God
yeah.
and you forget, you shut your ears for the evil one. It's something that Dallas helps me to do since the beginning of our marriage.
And for me,
it changed my life.
It's so important.
It rescued me.
Because I had to sit with God for 1 year in an addiction program and sift through truth, sift through the lies. What am I believing that's not true from God about who I am? And those types of things. And so I want to do a little illustration that always helps me. I'm a visual learner. If Marcelli is acting as the enemy and this remote is acting as a lie that the enemy is trying to give me, try to give me the remote.
Watch the video.
No. I don't want. I don't want.
Serious. Mm-mm. That's your day of life.
I don't want.
Please.
And if I don't want to adopt the lie, let's say that the lie is you're a fool. You're not smart enough. Nobody cares about you. You're purposeless. No, you know, you don't have a purpose. You don't have a future. All of these things that the enemy continues to try to give me. But if I don't take possession of it, it's not going to affect my day. It's not going to affect my identity because I know the truth. And so I'm not going to adopt that into my mentality because I know it's not true. But the moment I take it, you are a fool. And then I take it, I take possession of it. And I have possession of it until I replace that lie with truth. And so this is the way that I see things, that I have to constantly take evaluations in my life. And what am I adopting into my life? Am I taking every word, just like I said in the last episode, with our regrets, right? The enemy tries to convince us and condemn us of all of these things, but there is no condemnation. And so we can't adopt those lies into our life. We can't take possession of the lies of the enemy in our life.
Yeah, and just a little thing that I thought, little compliment. In order for us to know the truth, we have to know where the truth comes from. Mm-hmm. The truth comes from the Word of God and from spending time and knowing God, who God is, who Jesus is. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Jesus. And he's going to tell you things about yourself if you spend time with him and ask him things.
Yeah.
And then just practice hearing his voice and also reading a lot of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Let's continue here. But even when we fail to heed that principle, God can still work in marriage. He did it in my life. Not me, the writer here.
Uh-huh.
He did it in my life since I was an unbeliever with my husband. Greg proposed to me. Greg said he sensed that I was seeking God, but that's not how I remember it. It was God's grace alone that brought me to Jesus. Still, I doubt Greg, and I would still be married had I not become a believer. A third principle of marriage displayed here is that commitment is crucial. Amazingly, Rebecca agreed to marry Isaac without ever even meeting him. She didn't say, well, I'd like to see him first, or I'll give it a try. She made a commitment and stuck with it. I once heard marriage compared to buying a car. If you know this is the only car you'll ever have, you will take very good care of it. If, on the other hand, you buy the car thinking you can always junk it and get another one, you're less likely to change the oil and pay attention to the warning lights on the console. That's a great point. I'm getting married once and one time only.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to treat this car like a precious. I'm going to change the oil. I'm going to update the tires. I'm going to take it to the mechanic, all of those things, right? Metaphorically. While we want to heed the Bible's principles on marriage, we don't have to follow some of its customs, such as arranged marriages. In American culture, we value individual choice and generally shun matchmaking, unless it's on the internet and we have control of the criteria, which happened with us, of course. We met online. If you don't know that, watch our other videos. We have some details about that. In finding a spouse for a son, Abraham would have listed such requirements as relative and follower of God. Those were his requirements. His servant might have added kind, generous, and hardworking. Someone who would respond to the request for water by providing enough for him and his camels to drink. Whether or not you're sure you married the one and only person in the world for you, once you're married, that person becomes the one and only. Once the choice is made, all other choices are off the table. No matter how you and your partner came together, you are now one flesh, a unit, a team. Let God help your marriage become all that it can be. This is another great devotional. It's so important to trust God in marriage, and it's right. No matter how you came together, if you ran into each other at the supermarket and she dropped eggs and you picked them up and it was like a cute moment, or you met online like us, super romantic. No, not romantic, but whatever it is, God brought you together. When you make that decision to get married, you are married forever. So seek God how to make your marriage the best it can be. I think that's amazing.
I like this devotion. Yeah.
So our first question here, Mark, can you please read our first question?
Some people think that there is only one right person to marry. In what ways do we agree with that? Disagree? Why?
I have a friend, an old friend. His name is Maddie Collins. Maddie Collins. I used to work with him at Teen Challenge. Shout out to Maddie. He's probably not going to watch this episode today. We lost contact. But we had this conversation in the car once on the way to church. And I was like, I was a little optimistic, right? Looking for love. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that there is a soulmate. One soulmate for me. Like, prepared for me, right? God made her for me. And he's like, I disagree. I think you can choose who you want to marry. And at the time, I was like, this guy's crazy. This guy, what is this guy doing, right? And so, Maddie, shout out to you. I do believe the same thing as you now. I have adopted that idea that we have the freedom to marry who we want to marry. We have free will, right? And if you choose this person or this person, I think that God blesses it, of course, through seeking God. So don't misunderstand me when I say that I want to use Marcelli's situation as an example. Marcelli and I were talking, and she was trying to decide, is she going to move to the city where I was? Is she going to, you know, continue on this path to date towards marriage? And she felt God say in her heart, it's your choice.
Uh-huh.
It's your choice.
Okay.
And so I totally believe that. I totally agree with that she could have said, no, I don't want to do this. You know, even though she really had these emotions and she wanted to pursue, right?
Let me explain.
Yeah, please do, because I'm butchering this. I'm horrible at this, explaining this.
No, you're not. Let me explain the heart behind that.
Mm-hmm.
When I was praying for that, it was like I left my house, my family's house, like many times to go to college, and it was theology, and I went for 4 years, and then I went back home. Didn't plan to coming back, but I came back to Santa Rosa. It was my city, and I stayed home, and then I met Dallas and stuff. Then we fell in love. I met him in person, and then when I came back, I was like, oh, I love him. I'm totally in love, you know, like I've never been before, and really passionate about him. But I didn't want that to just be the reason why I would move. Of course, I wanted him to be the person that God had for me. And then, but it was hard to doubt God, because I had a friend send me an audio. Crazy audio one day. I was crying, I was sad, like, where is my husband, Lord? Where is my husband? Is he so far away that, where is he? You know? Because there's nobody here in my city. There's nobody that I know that I feel like I can fall in love with it. And this going back, right? And this person sent me this audio saying that the Lord is preparing you a bridegroom, and he's going to love you, and he's going to be love you like and demonstrate like Jesus loves the church, and you'll have that role and all the suffering that you had in your past, because I suffered a lot in the past with relationship, and all the suffering that you had, you're going to forget, because such will be the joy. And I was like, is God saying that? And this person said like this, I don't know if you believe in this type of stuff, but this is what I really feel God is saying to you. And then I never talked again with that person, and I was like, okay, like, it was that from God? And right in the middle of my crying, and I don't know if God's answering me, and I don't know, a few days later or a month later, I met Dallas online, and so crazy. It was an American sending me a message, like, not normal, you know. I thought it was his pen.
Spam.
Spam. Yeah, on Instagram, inviting me to work. And then I saw he was a missionary. And we started talking a little. And then I went back home walking. And usually I used to pray in this moment. And it was like, I had a feeling like, it's him. I'm going to date this guy. I'm going to marry him. I think I'm going to marry him. I thought that. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so crazy about him today. That's crazy. Insane. And fast forward to this day about this decision, you know, I reminded of that, of course, that, you know, yeah. I reminded of that audio of the promise of God. But I remember when I was trying to decide to move to São Paulo or not. And some things happened. When we were far, and God, no, Dallas upset me a lot, and I thought, is it really the person? Mm-hmm. Because he upset me, I had to forgive him, you know, it was so hard for me, but God gave me the everything, you know, all the structure, and I felt in my heart, like, not just about the forgiveness, but about every the choice, you know, the choice of moving or not moving. I felt like God was speaking to my heart, like, don't feel obligated to marry him because of the promise, because of this, because of that. I will bless you, you know, I will bless you. But Dallas needs a wife. I felt in my heart, like, Dallas needs a wife.
Come on. Thank you, Lord. And thank you.
I'm choosing you, you know, not I'm choosing you, but Dallas needs a wife. And that needs to be good, you know, a good wife that will walk with him, you know, work with him and ministry and stuff, you know, and need to be someone that was willing to. And I was like, I really want to, but this is a hard decision, you know.
It was
a precious time with the Lord.
It was. And I felt like
he gave me the choice, and I needed the God's approval. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. I needed God's approval to go, you know, to move. Because I didn't want to move just because of I was passionate about him.
Yeah.
And when I moved, then we started doing some ministry together. It's been amazing, crazy.
So, yeah, awesome. She said that Dallas needs a wife to do ministry with. And God promised me also that God would give me the wife who is a backbone for the ministry. And so literally, Marcelli is that. I can't speak Portuguese fluently. And so Marcelli is my mouth. Marcelli is my mouthpiece. And so whenever we go to preach, she translates so the people can understand. And so we've been able to do ministry together for 3 years now. It's been incredible. And so thank you. You explained way better than I did. With a lot of details, but that's all right. That's all right. I think it's important. It's valuable.
Yeah, because it had a lot of details. Lot. You know?
There's more you didn't say, but you did very good. Thank you. Question two, how does being committed for life to someone influence our actions toward each other? Being committed for life. I think that is so true because I have to deal with you for the rest of my life. So I can't like destroy you when I'm mad, you know, like, because you know, you could say things to people when you're upset, but this is my wife. This is the love. I'm going to be with her for the rest of my life. So I can't hurt my wife. You know, I love my wife. And just as Christ loves the church, just as Marcelli was saying, how would the wife? How would Christ treat the church? And I want to treat my wife that way, you know? I don't want to destroy my wife. I want to bless her, love her, care for her. And I can do better of all those areas, but I'm trying, you know?
Another thing that I see being fulfilled, like I forgot my past. I forgot my sad past, the suffering that I had. Because in this marriage, I'd never been married before. But married to Dallas, I feel like very happy. And it has a lot to do about being rescued from myself, like to God. Like who I am in God. So he plays a role there as the husband should, you know, and guiding spiritually.
Also so something important. We read in the first devotional that we are you, me, and God. We're a cord of three that can't be easily broken. And I think being committed to each other, absolutely. We agree with each other. We are a team. We fight against the enemy together, not the enemy allowing to divide us, right? We fight together, not with each other. Yeah. And so our final question here, before we met each other, what ingredients did we think were essential in a person before we consider marrying him or her? Wonderful question. I think you should definitely take an assessment of what you want your wife or your husband to be. And quick notes, my stepmom always prayed for my future wife. So that's super cool. Marcelli and her got to talk about that once. Super cool. And secondly, make the list. Literally, make a list. God, I want my wife to do this, to be blessed in this area, to have this gift, blah, blah, blah.
I had a list, yeah.
Holy cow, Marcelli has these things, right? So it's in more than I anticipated and expected. So make the list. God knows the desires of your heart within reason, of course, if they're according to his will, right? Yeah. And so I think definitely what ingredients... I wanted Marcelli to love the word. I wanted a wife who knew the word so much. That was a huge desire of my heart. And Marcelli went to theology school, you know? So like, come on.
Yeah, but you need to study and remember, you know, it's not like you know everything.
It's
just like a beginning for you to start studying the Bible.
So that was a huge thing for me. I wanted my wife to love the word. And anything for you? One thing for you, because we don't have a lot of time left. One ingredient that I needed to have to be your husband.
A believer.
So yeah, simple.
No, I think the calling, about the calling. Because everyone that I saw, that I met, you know, I felt like I was not going to love forever because I would want to run away from marriage or something like that. But I couldn't, because after you give yourself in marriage and you want to please God, you can't run away. And I thought, how am I going to find this person, you know? I needed this person to have the calling, you know, the calling to serve God, you know? I wanted missions, yeah, but our pastor, I don't know. But needed to be very involved with the ministry, with God, you know, not just in one place in the church because I love, it's strange, but I'm very easy to adapt to places. And I love adventures with God. So I needed someone that wanted these adventures with God. That is willing to say yes, to go to any place, to move to any place God called us to go, you know. Just that crazy, you know.
Hello, I'm Dallas.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Before we get too carried away, we're going to stop here for today. So thank you guys for joining us for another episode. Stay tuned. We're going to continue. I mean... We set out on this journey a week ago, hoping to record every day. We missed one day, but we're doing it, guys. We are out here, and we are going to keep recording, and we're going to keep doing it. I can say for me personally, a little update, that I am really, really enjoying this. I'm so motivated to get into the Word with you guys and to do the devotional with my wife, and it's making me feel strong in the Spirit.
Yeah,
and so it's helping me a lot, too. I'm really happy with what God is doing in just 1 week, so imagine 10 years of daily devotionals. That's a lot. But it's a lot of responsibility. So thank you guys again for joining
us. Daily devotions, but doesn't mean that it's going to always be online.
Yeah. Damn, verdade. Verdade. That's true, huh?
In a few years, it's going to be in Portuguese.
In a few years,
just at home with all of our children. With
virtual reality.
All right.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you gave us. Thank you for the rain that is going to continue to rain for days, Lord. I pray that we can continue to be as a family and enjoy our time this weekend together. I pray that you bless this house. Bless our listeners today, Lord. Whatever doubts that they have, whatever lies of the enemy are coming against them, Lord, I pray that you will exchange the lies with truth in Jesus' name. Help us to be equally yoked with our partners. And if we have someone, if one of us listening today is a Christian, but our spouse is not, Lord, I pray to encourage that believer today to keep praying. Don't give up, Lord, because we have so many testimonies of people that we preach this same word to. Do not give up. Keep praying. And we heard testimonies back of people eventually giving their lives to Jesus 20, 30 years later, Lord. So keep praying for your spouse, for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for your grandparents, your mothers and fathers, everybody in your family. Keep praying for them to come to the Lord. Thank you for this time. Bless this devotional in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.